Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindagichaya Shri Radhakrishna Gopakapata Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Girigo Vrindam Kijaya Vrindavanam Kijaya Maturidam Kijaya Navadip Dam Kijaya Jagannatha Swami Kijaya Yamunamaya Kijaya Shrimati Tulasi Devi Kijaya Samaveda Bhakta Vrindagichaya Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri, Guru, and Gauranga. Om Aganat Timirandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Mirikam Yenatas Mai Shigurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torched light of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So today, we are commemorating the disappearance day of Srila Jayadev Goswami. And actually, I'd like to read the translation for this prayer, Saparshita Gora Viraha Vilapa. Okay. So he who brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy, where is such a personality as Srinivasacharya gone? Where am I, Svarup Damodar? And Rupa Goswami, where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So, we're going to speak a little bit about the life of Srila Jayadev Goswami, and then we're going to speak a little bit about the Dasa Avatar Shloka, which is the beginning part of the Gita Govinda. For those of you who are very advanced in devotional service, you know, on the highest level, you can read the whole Gita Govinda. But for the rest of us, poor conditioned souls, Prabhupada said, is actually a quote that Prabhupada gave about the Gita Govinda. I wrote it down. It's very interesting. Prabhupada said that the works of Jayadev Goswami and others should be read only by liberated souls. So is anybody here liberated? Please raise your hand. Of course, in one sense, we're liberated because even by Namavas chanting, one becomes liberated. But Prabhupada was referring to the higher stages of devotional service. There's actually even some stories about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who wanted to publish the book, the Govinda Lilamrita, which is also very intimate. That was Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's literature. And he went to his father, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and he said, "Can I publish this book?" And some of you have heard this story before, but it bears telling again. And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur said, "No." And then he went again, "Can I publish it?" And then he went again, "Can I publish it?" And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur said, "Yes, you can publish it, but print one copy. You can read it. Nobody else can read it." So, unfortunately, nowadays, actually, we find many devotees trying to jump to a higher level than they're at in devotional service and read all these books about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada said when he was in Los Angeles and he was dealing with a group of devotees who were reading intimate aspects of Radha and Krishna's pastimes, he said to them when they presented the argument that we're becoming purified, Prabhupada said, "You're becoming what?" Does anyone know the word? Putrefied instead of purified. So there's a difference between, for those of you who are not native English speakers, purified means advanced in devotional service, you know, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, Bhava Mahadvagni Nirvapanam, all that nice stuff, cleansing the heart. Putrefied means throwing the dirt back on the heart. So the problem is that if we jump too quickly and we try to enter into Radha and Krishna's intimate pastimes, then what we will be doing is projecting our own conceptions, material conceptions, upon Radha and Krishna's pastimes, and we'll actually be thinking of mundane sex life and experiencing some of the symptoms, you know, mental, physical, whatever symptoms like that. Even though we may not realize it, we may think we're very spiritually advanced, but we may not be. So it's a very dangerous thing. So Prabhupada, in Los Angeles, Prabhupada became extremely angry with this group of devotees. Actually, the devotees said, who saw Prabhupada's anger, they had never seen Prabhupada so angry. And Prabhupada said, this will stop the progress of our Krishna conscious movement. And also another quote Prabhupada gave was this famous Bengali saying, you know, big, big monkey, big, big belly, sail on jumping melancholy. Everyone understands that? Because we all worship Hanuman, right? Everyone knows who Hanuman is? No. You're in the wrong movement if you don't know who Hanuman is. Anyway, Hanuman jumped across the ocean to Sri Lanka. But if you try to jump across the ocean to Sri Lanka, anyway, even if you try to jump across this courtyard, forget about Sri Lanka, you know. You'll probably break a few bones in the process. So if we try to do something, you know, to imitate the Mahajanas, then we'll fall flat on our faces. There's anusar, anukar. There's imitation and also following in the footsteps. So we're meant to follow in the footsteps, just like we have our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace of the Prabhupada. If we follow in his footsteps, Prabhupada said if you wanted to follow in his footsteps, you'd have to go out and preach. Prabhupada actually stated that. He said, if you want the dust of my lotus feet are moving. They're going everywhere. And actually, Prabhupada gave the Parvajakacharya sannyas. We were talking about this yesterday in regard to different types of sannyas that Prabhupada gave. That Prabhupada gave one devotee Babaji sannyas, one of my friends. And this devotee, he was supposed to die, so he went to Vrindavan to die. But then he found out that the doctors had misdiagnosed him. So then he said, well, maybe I shouldn't be a Babaji. Actually, he gave away all of his clothes and he gave them to me. When he took a Babaji, so I was happy, you know, I got all these nice suits and jackets and ties and everything like that. So, but then when he found out he wasn't going to die, then he came back to the West and I haven't heard from him in many years. He was a good friend of mine. So Prabhupada gave the type of sannyas, the Parvajakacharya sannyas. That is, everybody knows what that is? Where you travel and preach and you don't worry about what you're going to eat. You know, the Paramahansas, that's something else. That's where you just stay in one place and be absorbed in Radha Krishna Leela. But the Parvajakacharya means, you know, going everywhere and depending on Krishna. So that is actually how we serve and follow the footsteps of His Divine Grace Śrīla Prabhupāda. We preach wherever we are. It's not that we necessarily have to travel. If we're in one position, one place, stane stata shu dikatam tan van manobir, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said in South India, right? Just stay in one place and just make people Krishna conscious or expose them to the holy names. Yari dekatari ka Krishna padesha maragai guru hoi tore desh. So that is following Prabhupada's footsteps. So I just wanted to speak about that for a second, just to give us a word of caution about these intimate literatures. Because Jayadeva's Gita Govinda is intimate, except for the first part of the Gita Govinda, which deals with the Dasa Avatar Sloka, which we'll chant in a few minutes. So Jayadeva Goswami, along with other authors such as Chandidas and Bilva Mangal Thakur, appeared way before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He appeared in the 11th century. Jayadeva Goswami appeared in the 11th century AD. And he manifested the topmost bhava, or the topmost understanding of Krishna consciousness in the mood of the gopis and Radharani and Vipralamba Seva and all the different aspects of the philosophy that were later presented by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So one may question, you know, how is it that he presented these things before the advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And the Acharyas comment that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually inspired Jayadev Goswami. And there's some information that even Jayadev Goswami in some of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's works met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Jayadev Goswami resided on the bank of the Ganges in Navadvip. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inspired him from within the heart to exhibit and to teach these most elevated topics. So even before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, these things were being taught. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would nightly listen to the poems of Jayadeva Goswami from the Gita Govinda, along with Chandidas and Bilvamangal Thakur's writings, and he would relish these things greatly. But Prabhupada said he would only relish these things with how many intimate associates? Does anyone know? We're going to ask some questions, see if anyone's awake. How many? How many people did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relish these things with? Is it? No. Three and a half. Two and a half or three and a half. Anyway, one was a lady, but I'm not going to go into that. I don't want to offend anybody. So you had Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramanandori, and Sikmahiti's sister. That's right. So, in other words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in general would just talk about what? The chanting of the holy names, you know, everybody chant Hare Krishna. And with his intimate associates, he'd talk about these other things and exhibit the intimate signs of Vipralamba Seva. Okay, so another word of caution. So here's some history about Jayadev Goswami. So Jayadev Goswami appeared in this place called Kendu Bilvagram, which is in West Bengal. And the district is Birbhum in the 11th century. And his father's name was Boja Devi. His mother's name, some commentators say, Vanadeva Devi or Rama Devi. And he had many interesting pastimes in his life. He resided generally in the banks of the Ganges in Navadvip. And he had other close associate friends who were great devotees of the Lord, and their names were Umpa Dadar Acharya, Sri Govardhan, and Kavi Kshama Pati. He once traveled to Jagannath Puri, and traveling to Jagannath Puri, he became very much inspired by Lord Jagannath and the beauty of Jagannath Puri, and he decided to reside there for some time. This is right before he wrote the Gita Govinda. And also he met his wife Padmavati in Jagannath Puri. She was actually a great devotee of Lord Jagannath. She was always absorbed and Lord Jagannath exhibiting symptoms of ecstasy. And so we find Jayadeva Goswami is called Jayadeva Goswami in spite of being married. It's very interesting. Like Prabhupada also said, that the householders can also in one sense be considered brahmachari grahasas or grahastha brahmacharis, because they're completely devoted to Krishna. So someone who is completely devoted to Krishna is a real Goswami, because the word Goswami means to control the senses. It's not simply an official title. You know, in Kali Yuga, you find so many people with a title, Swami, Goswami, whatever, and generally there are Go Dasas. And Prabhupada said, Prabhupada was quoting, and he said, generally in Kali Yuga, sannyas is forbidden except for preaching Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada told the story where that when he was young, he had one neighbor who would dress up as a sannyasi during the day, and he would go and beg. That's why a sannyasi has the upper cloth. For those of you who don't know, this is for actually begging. When I took sannyas, the devotee who gave me sannyas didn't understand that. And he said, this is to protect you from the women. But it's not much protection. But it's actually this upper cloth is for begging. And traditionally, I got news for you, sannyasi, it was for begging grains, not for begging rupees. You know, grains and things to eat, not, you know, give me a crore a crore of rupees here or something like that. Anyway, but this is Kali Yuga. Actually, in Bhagavatam it says in Kali Yuga, the grahasas will come begging to the sannyasis for money. And practically sometimes we see that. You know, people come, sometimes they say, Maharaj, I need a donation. So, but a real sannyasi, a real Goswami can be in any order of life. So it's not really important to have that title, except for preaching. You understand? It doesn't matter. Kiva vipra, kiva nyasi, shudra kenanoi, ye krishna tattva veta, se guru hoi. If someone knows the science of Krishna, it doesn't matter. These are just external things. When you go back to the spiritual world, you can't say, you know, why isn't everybody calling me Maharaj anymore? You know, you see Radha and Krishna, you expect Radharani to say, oh, Maharaj, how are you? It just doesn't work like that, you know. So when you go back to the spiritual world, everyone is a servant. You better believe you're a servant. If you think you're a sannyasi, if you think you're a guru, you're a guru. Isn't it? That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said. If one thinks he's like that. We just said, what is the identification we have? Gopi Bharta Padakamala Dasa Dasa Dasana Dasa. That's our identification. Everything else is an upadhi. Everything else. If you don't think you're a servant of a servant of a servant of the gopis, who maintain, Krishna maintains the gopis or the gopis, then you're actually a Maya. You should actually think like, I'm just a servant. And I'm a servant of a servant of a servant of a servant. And Prabhupada said, the further removed you are as a servant, and the more advanced you are. The more you're thinking of a servant of a servant. In fact, a pure devotee is thinking he's a servant of everyone. He's giving everyone Krishna. He sees everyone connected with Krishna. Anyway, so Jayadeva Goswami, before he went to Puri, he became a very erudite scholar in Sanskrit at a very young age, like 6 or 7. He was just like reciting Sanskrit slokas, could speak in eloquent Sanskrit. So then he found Padmavati, who was very dedicated to Lord Jagannath. And in Jagannath Puri, he composed his famous Gita Govinda. Now, there's a problem in this world when you become a prominent devotee or prominent anything, is that there's always people who are envious of you. That's life. So at that point, when he composed the Gita Govinda, the Gajapati, that means the king of Puri, the Purushottama Kshetra, became envious of Jayadeva Goswami. Can you imagine that? I mean, sometimes we see interesting things happen in Jagannath Puri, isn't it? Like recently. There have been some people who are envious of Prabhupada and did so many things. I don't want to criticize anyone in particular. Jai Shishi Goranatai, Krishna Balaram, Radhasham Shundar, Lalita Vishaka. Anyway, so Prabhupada had so many people who were envious of him, you know, some of his god brothers, and now we see even in Jagannath Puri. Anyway, won't say what happened, but I think most of you know what happened. It's just horrible. So Jayadeva Goswami also had that same problem. So the Gajapati, he was so envious that he composed his own Gita Govinda. Can you imagine that? And he called his Gita Govinda the Abhinava Gita Govinda. You know, the original Gita Govinda. And so, I mean, he was so envious that even his own pundits said, King, I mean, you're Maya. They said to him, even his own pundits said to the king, the Gajapati, that your Gita Govinda is just like a candle, and Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govinda is like the sun, you know. But he just said, no, I have the best Gita Govinda. The king was so determined to establish his Gita Govinda in opposition to Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govinda that it became a major controversy in Jagannath Puri. So finally, the way they settled controversies in those days is they went before the deities. Just like if they had a court case, you know, both the parties would go before the deities, and people would be scared of telling a lie. Because if you tell a lie before the deities, that's it. Finished. So what they did is they put both Gita Govindas in front of Lord Jagannath. That was in the evening. And they wanted to see what would happen the next morning. So next morning, you know, they open the curtains up, Jai Jagannath, Jai Jagannath. And they see the king's Gita Govinda, so-called Gita Govinda, was torn apart and scattered all over the floor. You're just like in pieces, you know. Krishna just gone, rip, rip, rip. Lord Jagannath's like that, you know. And then as far as Jayadev Goswami's Gita Govinda, the deity was holding like this. He was right on the deity's chest. Pretty good, isn't it? So that proves it. The Gita Govinda is bona fide. So after that particular time, certainly Jayadev Goswami's fame was spread all over India. And in practically every temple, and even in the courts of kings and prominent personalities, the Gita Govinda was sung. It became very, very prominent all over India. And by the 15th century AD, the Gita Govinda had been published in all the major languages in India and also illustrated in all the major art styles in India. You know, there's different art styles like Rajasthani art and Gujarati art, and there's art in UP. So in all the major art styles, it was published. And in fact, in 1590, there was a major edition of the Gita Govinda published, which you'll find in display in Bombay. Mm. Even it's explained that Akbar published an edition of the Gita Govinda, and it's in the Mughal style. Even the painting of Radharani is in Mughal style. She has a Mughal style dress. And that you can see also, I think it's in Bombay, that particular Gita Govinda. And you may see it on the internet too, some of the pictures of it. So later on in his life, Jayadev Goswami went to become the king's pandit. That's in Bengal, for King Lakshman Sena. And the king respected him so much that he would accept anything that Jayadev Goswami said. Now, at the same time, this Gajapati was still there in Jagannath Puri. So when he heard that Jayadev Goswami had attained this very high position of respect, the Gajapati became so upset that he resigned from his king position. He said, "I don't want to be king anymore." You know, he just completely depressed, clinical depression. That way. So, I mean, you see what envy does to you? You know, it's a real problem. This is one of the anarthas, kama, krodha, mada, matsarya, varyam, bhaya. And according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, these anarthas come from four different ways. One is from sinful activities, one is from pious activities, one is from offenses to Vaishnavas, that's the worst, and the last is from the byproducts of bhakti, where you become attached to the opulence you get by performing bhakti. So this king actually had some serious problems. So Jayadev Goswami resided in along the banks of the Ganges, and of course there's that famous story where Jayadev Goswami was writing the part of the Gita Govinda where he says that Krishna bows down and touches Radharani's feet. And as he was writing this, Jayadev Goswami was thinking, "You know, what am I writing? How can this be? You know, Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead." But it was flowing out from his heart, being inspired by Krishna Chandra. So Jayadev Goswami put down all of his books at that point. He says, "Look, I have to go and take a bath, and it's time for prasadam." So he went to the bank of the Ganges, took a bath. He didn't finish that particular sloka at that time. And while he was taking a bath, Krishna himself took on the form of Jayadev Goswami, went to Jayadev Goswami's home, ate Jayadev Goswami's prasadam, was cooked by his wife Padmavati. Padmavati served him. She was thinking, "I'm serving my husband." Then he sat down at his desk and completed that particular shloka. Now Krishna bows down and touches and massages the feet of Srimati Radharani. So then Krishna disappeared, and the real Jayadev Goswami came home. And he saw his wife was eating prasadam. Now, for those of you who are not from the West, which is most of you, the wife is supposed to eat prasadam when? After the husband. Forgive me, ladies. He wasn't ladies of it. This is the culture, but anyway. So you got to be careful. I couldn't speak about this if I was in Alachua. So the wife is supposed to... I know I could. I'm just joking. The wife is supposed to take prasadam after the husband. So he is saying, huh? You know, where's the... What happened with our Vedic etiquette, my dear? Padmavati. And she said, I'm taking after you. You already ate. And he said, I already ate? What do you mean? She said, you already took down, sat down, ate prasadam, and then you sat and wrote. What's wrong? And then so he said, I sat and I wrote. And so he went to his books and he saw this particular shloka had been completed, that Krishna bows down and massages the feet of Srimati Radharani. And then he understood it was Krishna himself who finished that particular shloka. And he went to his wife and he said, my dear Padmavati, you are the most fortunate because Krishna himself has taken food from your hands. And so at that point, he actually understood even the exalted position of his wife. So it's a famous story from the Gita Govinda, about the Gita Govinda. So we'll speak a little bit about the Gita Govinda, the Dasha Avatar Shloka. So the Gita Govinda begins with the Dasha Avatar Shloka, and of course we're chanting every morning and perhaps several times a day one of the verses from the Dasha Avatar Shloka, which is the prayers to Lord Nrisingadev, as everyone knows, Keshavadrita Nara Hari Rupa, Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Now, Jayadev Goswami started his Gita Govinda with this particular shloka, with these shlokas, because he wanted to establish, without a doubt, who Krishna was before he dealt with the intimate loving exchanges or affairs of Radha and Krishna. He wanted people to clearly understand, and also to clearly understand that all the avatars of Krishna are none different from Krishna. As we know from the Brahma Sangita, Advaita Chuta Nadir Anantarupa Madhyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakto Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. That Advaita is, that means one, without duality actually. Advaita Chuta, Krishna is infallible, he's one, but he exhibits himself in unlimited ways. But it is the same person. When we see Lord Nrisingadev, we understand, according to Jayadeva Goswami and according to what Prabhupada has taught us, that it's Krishna. It's Krishna in his angry mood. Just like we were just on pilgrimage, we were very fortunate to go on pilgrimage with Dinabandhu, and he was telling the story of how one night Nanda Maharaj was telling stories to Krishna. You know, Krishna wanted some bedtime stories. So Nanda Maharaj actually started telling stories about, first of all, he started telling stories about Lord Ram. Remember this? And he was telling a story about Lord Ram crossing the ocean and going to Lanka. And then finally he confronted Ravana. And all of a sudden, Krishna stood up on his bed and said, Ravana, you rascal, I'm going to kill you. And then Nanda Maharaj said, how did he know the end of the story? He's never heard it before, huh? This boy must be is pretty miraculous. He knows the pastimes of God. You know, they're somehow or other, you know, he must have been a great devotee in his last life or something. And then he even did he recited the story about Pallad Maharaj. And then Krishna jumped up on his bed, his bedtime story, like that. So we understand that it's the same person. And also Lord Chaitanya, we understand one time he was in the mood of Lord Nrisingadev and he went all around Navadvip scaring everybody. He was just, you know, really angry. And sometimes he was in the mood of Lord Balaram, you know, where's my plow? Where's my Baruni beverage? And people, you know, just became a little confused. So the point is the same person. We're not polytheistic. We're monotheistic. And it's just Krishna getting in different moods. Of course, when Krishna exhibits himself fully, it's Brajendra Nandana in Vrindavan. And there are certain characteristics that are only exhibited in Vrindavan. There's four characteristics mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. Who knows those four characteristics? What? Yeah, his intimate pastimes or sweet pastimes. His beauty. He plays a flute, and his devotees, intimate devotees. So Krishna, fullness is here. Eke chamsa kalak pumsa, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. So Jayadev Goswami wanted to establish that. So in other words, we're interested in worshiping all the different incarnations of God. It's not that someone should say, oh, that's just Lord Rama. I'm not interested in him, it's just Lord Rama. Just Lord Nrsingadeva. No, because it's Krishna. If you love someone, you will love everything they do, right? Like if someone is married and the wife says to the husband, I only like it when you make money. Huh? What kind of relationship is that? You'll love everything that they do. Hopefully. I mean, I don't know. I'm just a sannyasi. What do I know about this? So if you love Krishna, well, everything he does, if he wants to be half man, half lion, appear like that, that's wonderful. You'll love every incarnation because it's the same Krishna. And even the gopis, when they were experiencing separation from Krishna, they would sometimes even criticize things Krishna did in different incarnations. They said, this one time they said, Krishna, you're so cruel. This beautiful girl, Surpanaka, approached you with love. And what did you do? You had Lakshman cut her nose off and ears off. You cruel Krishna. So anyway, I'm not going to get into all those things. But so we see that there's one God. And he's doing all these things. Krishna's the most wonderful God you can imagine. Isn't it? Sometimes people say, one of the criticisms that atheists have about religion is that religion is anthropomorphic. You ever hear that? I'll explain what that means. That means people, because we look a certain way, we have two hands and two legs and a head, that we think God looks the same way. That's the anthropomorphic. That's one of the main criticisms people have about religion. And there was even one pre-Socratic Greek philosopher who said, if horses had God, he would look like a horse. But our conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead goes far beyond any idea of projection of our own, consciousness or identities in this world. Because, there is God acting as half man, half lion, as a tortoise. And Prabhupada said that Krishna has incarnations in every species of life. Not just the avatars listed by Jayadeva Goswami, but every species of life, Krishna has an incarnation. That's amazing, isn't it? And Krishna is just so wonderful what he could do and what he does do. He can do anything. So I would just briefly read the Dashavatar Sloka with the translations. And I don't think we'll chant them because there's not enough time. I'll just read the Sanskrit and translations. Pralaya payodi jale dritavanasi vedam vihita vahitra charitam akedam keshavadrita mina sharira jaya dagadisha hare jaya dagadisha hare jaya dagadisha hare. So the translation is, O Keshava, Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a fish. It's matcha. All glories to you. You easily acted as a boat in the form of a giant fish just to give protection to the Vedas, which had become immersed in the turbulent sea of devastation. And then text 2. Shitirihai vipula ture tatitava prishtedare nidarana kina chakra. Didn't get it right. Gurushte Keshavadritan Kurma Sharira Jayadagadishahare Jayadagadishahare Jaya Jagadisha Hare. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a tortoise, all glories to you. In this incarnation as a divine tortoise, the great Mandara mountain rests upon your gigantic back as a pivot for churning the ocean of milk. From holding up the huge mountain, a large scar-like depression is put in your back, which has become most glorious. In other words, by churning this, acting as the pivot place for the churning rod, Prabhupada says the jewels were actually polished. That's from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vasati dashana shikare dharani tavalagna shashini kalanka kaleva nimagna keshavadrita shukana rupa jaya dagadisha hare jaya dagadisha hare jaya dagadisha hare. O Keshava, Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a boar, O glories to you, the earth which has become immersed in the Garbhadak ocean at the bottom of the universe sits fixed upon the tip of your tusk like a spot upon the moon. And then, Tavakara kamalabharena kamabhuta singham dalita hiranyakashipu tanu pringam keshavadrita narahari rupa jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a half-man, half-lion, all glorious to you, just as one can easily crush a wasp between one's fingernails, so in the same way the body of the wasp-like demon, Hiranyakashipu, has been ripped apart by the wonderful pointed nails on your beautiful lotus hands. Chalayasi vikramane balim adbhuta vamana Padanaka nirajanita janapavana keshavadrita vamanas vamana rupa jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare. O Keshava, Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a dwarf Brahman, all glories to you, a wonderful dwarf. By your massive steps you deceive King Bali, and by the Ganges water that has emanated from the nails of your lotus feet, you deliver all living beings within this world. Kshatriya rudira mayeg jagad apagata papam snapayasi payasi samita bhavatapam keshavadrita brigapati rupa jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of Bhrigupati Parashuram, all glories to you. At Kurukshetra, you bathe the earth in the rivers of blood from the bodies of the demoniac Kshatriyas that you have slain. The sins of the world are washed away by you, and because of you, people are relieved from the blazing fire of material existence. And text 7, Vitarasi Dikshurane Dikpati Kamaniham Dashamukam Olibalim Ramaniyam Keshavadrita Rama Share Raha Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of Lord Ramchandra, all glories to you. In the battle of Lanka, you destroy the ten-headed demon Ravana and distribute his heads as a delightful offering to the presiding deities of the ten directions headed by Indra. That's a nice expression. Yeah, poetic expression. Here's your heads. This action was long desired by all of them who were very much harassed by this monster. And then text 8. Vahasi vakushi vishade vashanam Jaladabham halahati vita milita yamunabhyam keshavadrita haladhara rupa jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of Balaram, the wielder of the plow, all glories to you. On your brilliant white body, you wear garments of the color of a fresh blue rain cloud. These garments are colored like the beautiful dark hue of the river Yamuna, who feels great fear due to the striking of your plowshare. Text 9. Nandasi yagir videraha shuti jatam Sadaya Hridaya Darshita Pashugatam Keshavadrita Buddha Sharira Jayadagadisha Hare Jayadagadisha Hare Jayadagadisha Hare. O Keshava, Lord of the Universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of Buddha, all glorious to you, O Buddha of compassionate heart, you decry the slaughtering of poor animals performed according to the rules of Vedic sacrifice. And text 10. Malacha nivaha nidane kalayasi karavalam dumake tumiva kimapi karalam keshavadrita kalki sharira jayadagarisha hare jayadagarisha hare jayadagarisha hare. O Keshava, O Lord of the Universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of Kalki, O glorious to you, you appear like a comet and carry the terrifying sword for bringing about the annihilation of the wicked barbarian men at the end of Kali Yuga. And text 11, there's actually 12 texts to the Dashavatara Shloka, but there's 10 avatars. Shijayadeva kaveridamuditam udharam shunusukudam shubadam bavasaram Keshavadrita Tashavirarupa Jayadagadisha Hare Jayadagadisha Hare Jayadagadisha Hare. O Keshava, Lord of the Universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed these 10 different forms of incarnation, all glories to you. O readers, please hear this hymn of the poet Jayadev, which is the most excellent and a water of happiness, a bestower of auspiciousness, and is the best thing in this dark world. And finally, the last part of the last shloka, and this is not in the same rhythm, so I'll just read it. Vedan udarate jaganti vihate bhulokam udvivrate daicham darayate balim chalayate shatrakshyam kurvate holascham jayate halim kalayate karunyam atanvate malachan murchayate dakshakrite krite Krishnaya tubhyam namaha. O Lord Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you, who appear in the form of these 10 incarnations. In the form of Matsya, you rescue the Vedas, and as Kurma, you bear the Mandara mountain on your back. As Varaha, you lift the earth and with your tusk. In the form of Narasingha, you tear open the chest of the Daitya Hiranyakashipu. In the form of Vamana, you trick the Daitya King Bali by asking him for only 3 steps of land. And then you take away the whole universe from him by expanding your steps. As Parashuram, you slay all the wicked Kshatriyas, and as Ramachandra, you conquer the Rakshasa King Ravana. In the form of Balaram, you carry the plow which you subdue the wicked and draw toward you the river Yamuna. As Lord Buddha, you show compassion toward all living beings suffering in this world. And at the end of Kali Yuga, you appear as Kalki to bewilder the Malechas, the degraded low-class men. Srila Jayadev Goswami Ki Jai. So, I think it's time now, right? We don't have time for questions, probably. Right? One question, yeah. Okay.
Maharaj, thank you for the class. You make the point that premature hearing purified or putrefied, but then at the same time we hear that the Muslim Aurangzeb got this version of the Deep Govinda.
Yeah. I don't know if he act. Not Aurangzeb, Akbar. Akbar. There's a difference between Aurangzeb and Akbar. I mean, it's like between night and day. Akbar was a great devotee. He actually got darshan of Srila Jiva Goswami. I don't think I'm 1/1,000,000th advance as Akbar, to tell you the truth. But, anyway. So he was a great devotee. He got special mercy from Srila Jiva Goswami. This is Prabhupada's caution to us that we have to be very, very careful about these things, because I've seen the people stop the preaching in the name of, you know, intimate affairs of Radha and Krishna. People leave our movement because they're lured by someone who says, you know, I can teach you something that your guru never taught you, and, you know, come with me. The reason you're not experiencing, you know, one of the main arguments some people give, the reason you're not experiencing Bhava is your guru's not on the platform of Bhava. So come with me and you'll experience Bhava. No, the reason we're not experiencing bhava is because we haven't really gone through all the stages yet. You know, anartha nivritti, we haven't become nishta. It's not that you can jump to the higher platform. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur preach very heavily against the sahaja tendency. And Srila Prabhupada, following in their footsteps, also was very heavy against this, because Vaishnavism had, at least the proper understanding of Vaishnavism, had become lost due to the sahaja tendency before the time, practically speaking, before the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Up to the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Of course, there were many bona fide Vaishnavas, but as far as the general understanding of Vaishnavism, it wasn't respected at all. So Prabhupada said our movement can become destroyed, and the preaching can become destroyed, and the devotees can all become materialistic if they take prematurely to this understanding, improper understanding. So we have to be very cautious. Yeah. And actually, in order to understand, Prabhupada said, first deserve and then desire. That actually comes from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that statement. Deserve and then desire. In other words, another statement Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, don't try to see Krishna. What was there in it? Everyone remember the end of it? Have Krishna see you, you know. You know, and if you preach, Prabhupada also said that the preaching, the Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Prabhupada even talked about it in terms of book distribution, is in the mood of the gopis. And my personal experience is that, you know, just to renew my mind, is I get much more realizations when I preach Krishna consciousness. You know, I remember in the early days of the movement, we would go out and travel in Sankirtan and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books all over America. And we'd go out in the morning at 8 o'clock and come back at 7 o'clock in the evening, full-time distributing books. And we experienced so much happiness from this. And when we listened to Prabhupada's tapes, we'd come back and listen to a tape of Prabhupada, the mind was extremely clear. So there was much more realization. So when we please the previous acharyas by this preaching, and especially Srila Prabhupada is pleased, then certainly the realization will be there. We were servants. So, I think that's time. We have to take prasadam now, right? Or else we won't please the Vaishnavas. And then we'll never attain prema bhakti. Because all the Vaishnavas will be thinking, you know, he's going on too long, it's time for prasadam. All right. One question, Maharaj. And that's it.
Mentioning about this envy, that there are four obstacles, like you were telling me.
There are four sources of anarthas. Yeah.
So I wanted to elaborate on the last thing you think while doing bhakti, right?
Yeah. I mentioned that this is actually from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He states that there's four sources of anarthas. In the Vajranahasya, he talks about this, and also I believe Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur also talks about this in the Madhuri Kanamani. But the four sources are sinful activities, that's easy to understand. Pious activities, because one becomes attached to the mode of goodness. Then there's offenses, that's easy to understand. But then the byproducts of bhakti. Now, that's very easy also to understand, because let's say you become a very prominent prominent preacher in the Krishna consciousness movement, or even you become a guru in the Krishna consciousness movement. What happens? Does anyone know? You get profit, adoration, and distinction. I mean, just like if you become a guru, let's wait until it finishes. It's 8 or 9. It's actually 9. At least they're on time. Prabhupada insisted on that. So if you become a guru, you get a book written about you each year. It's called the Vyas Puja book, right? Can you imagine? I mean, every year you pick up a book. Wow, my book, I get to read about myself. You have lotus feet that are so sweet that can't be beat, those wonderful lotus feet. Now, you read about it enough and you may start to believe it. And you may even take your socks off to look at your own feet after a while. Right? I mean, I'm being a little humorous about the thing, but You know, there's a tendency, what does that say? He who praises me is my enemy. We've heard that statement before. Because it's you know, I remember one time with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada just given a lecture, and then devotees were telling Prabhupada, "That was a wonderful lecture, wonderful, you really did nice." And Prabhupada just said, "Hare Krishna," like that. I mean, of course, Prabhupada accepted praise on behalf of his spiritual master. So when you do service, then you tend to get admired for it. I mean, if you're a pujari, then you're addressing the deities, and someone's saying, "How nice the deities are dressed," and you're thinking, "Boy, I did a good job today. Right? I'm a good pujari." And I remember there was one story, one pujari, the deities were not dressed by her that morning, and she looked at Krishna, "I don't like the way you're dressed." And she got angry with Krishna, because "I didn't dress you." So, our false ego can become inflamed by the byproducts of bhakti like that. You get admired, you know, "I'm the number one Sankirtan." You have Sankirtan prizes, you know. Someone goes on saying, "Number one Sankirtan devotee, that's me." You know, you get a t-shirt, "Number one." Or sometimes, you know, you go to Radhakund and want to get the biggest Radhakund beads, you know, so everyone will admire you or something. So that happens. This desire, I mean, subtle sex life is so dangerous. I mean, the gross sex life, it's easy to understand what it is. But the profit adoration distinction, it's so dangerous, and it just pollutes the heart. Desiring to become a prominent devotee or admired by others, or I'm a special devotee. People just don't understand who I am. Do you ever think like that? You know, honestly, sometimes we think like that. People don't know, you know. "I better carry my danda so they know I'm a sannyasi," you know. Like that. So anyway, this is the danger from the byproducts of bhakti. Or one becomes wealthy. You know, that sometimes you get byproducts like that. You know, that you worship the Lord and you're praying, you know, "Jaya Jagadisha Hari, please give me money to me. Swami Jaya Jagadisha Hari," and then you get money. I'll just end with one story. It's a funny story I told the other day, that one time someone went to Balaji in Tirupati, and he said, "You know, if you make this business deal successful, I'll give you half." So he went and did business and was super successful, had a lot of money. And then he thought, you know, Balaji doesn't need all this money. He won't know the difference between 20% and 50% anyway. You know, he's a deity, you know, what does he know? So he went to Balaji and said, "Thank you for making my business successful. Here's the money I promised." So as he was giving the money, he also had a ring that was worth like 10 crore rupees on it. It slipped from his finger, went into the donation box. So he ended up giving 90%. So you can't cheat God. If you want to perform devotional service, become prominent, Krishna will show you how you have to become humble. Trinadapi sunichana tarodapisi. Okay, so I think we should end. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Jai. Jai Dev Goswami Ki Jai. Vaishnavrinda.